Thanks for joining us for another episode of Forever 39 with Annette and Megan.
Hey, guys.
Listen up, guys. We want you to chat with us, so go over to Twitter and tweet us at NJ1015, hashtag Forever 39. Like us on Facebook via NJ1015's page. And of course, you can email us anytime at forever39@nj1015.com. To get our podcast, please subscribe via the NJ101.5 app, iTunes, or even Google Play. Okay, just a reminder, guys, you can win a pair of Beats by Dr. Dre headphones from Forever 39 and NJ1015.com. So stay tuned and we will tell you how to do that. Coming up in this episode, we will discuss our regrets and non-regrets on spending splurges, bad credit, and dating. But first up, we're going to talk about body shaming.
There's certainly a lot of that going on.
There is. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know how to begin this. And I'm just thinking, it's just constant. It's just, I don't know about you, Annette, but I feel like I beat myself up every day on how I look and if things aren't perfect, or if I look sloppy, or if my makeup looks bad halfway through the day, or I just feel like as a girl, it never stops. And I don't know if it's our generation and we grew up with like the Kate Moss and the supermodels and the perfection. I know that started a little before us, but it really seemed to be hardcore in the 90s with the skinny and all of that stuff. And while I was researching the topic of body shaming, I came across a quote, from Ireland Baldwin, and she is Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin's daughter. And she is stunning, but she had a really interesting quote, and I hope she means it. And I hope for the generation coming up, they don't put themselves through the hell that I feel like I've been put in my entire life by constantly watching what I'm eating, constantly working out, constantly being aware of how I look, and having it weigh so much on me and be such a measurement for me personally and how I feel I'm succeeding in life. That might sound shallow, but it's honest. And so her quote is, "This is who I am, take it or leave it. I'm not going to be body shamed for being pale or not stick thin. I'm not going to spend hours photoshopping my authenticity away. I'm not going to beat myself up for not looking like someone else." And she's beautiful, and she is thin, and she is stunning, and you can see when she's in pictures, you can see a little bit of Alec and a little bit of Kim Basinger, who is just beautiful. But where did it get so off track that we've lost what beauty means? And beauty doesn't mean size 2. And I almost feel like saying that is a cliche. Yes, it does, and it matters. And to be in Hollywood, you have to be skinny and all. What about being a good person? What about being truth? What about beauty in your relationships with others? Is there beauty in that? Or is it all about being skinny and pretty?
No, absolutely not. I think that there's absolute beauty in so many other things than your appearance. But I think what's interesting to me is I think we've all body shamed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I certainly have. I've been overweight my entire life. It's what I think about pretty much, you know, from the minute I wake up to the time I go to bed.
Me
I think
too.
About that.
Annette, me too.
And I have a really hard time looking at the positive attributes that some people might say I have, like, oh, you have pretty eyes, you have a nice smile. Like, I don't see any of those things. I just see what I perceive to be the negative, mm-hmm. what society has told me is not good. What I find interesting, though, about body shaming right now is how much of it is happening in the public eye and how many people who are in the public eye, celebrities, Kelly Clarkson, Emma Stone, Jennifer Lawrence, Jessica Simpson, Amy Schumer, mm-hmm. the list goes on. And it's not just women. Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, so many people are getting body shamed. And it's interesting to me, like, when did that become acceptable? Because I hate to say this, but I feel like even though it's not, we've always sort of accepted it of ourselves, of us body shaming ourselves. But when did it become acceptable to publicly body shame others? And I mean, the thing is I say that, but then I think to myself, I guess we all sort of do it,
mm-hmm.
right? But we don't put it on social media or talk about it out loud, because I know I might look at someone and go, I'm not so sure that outfit really works for you. And that's right. Body shaming. And I'm ashamed to say that I do that, but I think we probably all do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't do is sit there and tweet about it or write it on Facebook or blast it all over social media, which doesn't mean it's any better or any worse, because honestly, it's still not good that you're doing it.
what's normal, what's acceptable. I mean, think about it. You see a magazine, look slimmer instantly, because that matters.
But then,
it never stops.
But even thin people, like Emma Stone is somebody who I think most people would say is pretty thin.
Yeah.
She's been body shamed for being too thin. So there's never, you're either too fat or you're too thin. Like, what's right? There is no right.
Right.
And, you know, what's interesting is that I found this survey that was released last year showing that more men than women were body shamed by their partners. I thought that was really interesting. So 62% of men said their current partner had body shamed them versus only 32% of women who said the same. That's because I have a feeling men know you better not say anything
if they've learned
about
one thing.
About your girl's figure. So the number one thing men were criticized for was for their lack of muscle definition, especially when it came to abs. And for women, the number one thing that they were criticized for was just general weight gain. Like, hey, babe, you gained 20 pounds since we've been together. But women were also ridiculed for their breast size, their butt size, and even having bad skin. I thought that was really interesting, you know, that people who are in a relationship are being shamed by the person that, you know, they might love the most or be with.
Which is crazy. You know, my husband has never said a word to me either way. He sees, you know, what I put myself through.
Right.
And which is a blessing and a curse, I suppose, because I do want to know, you know, if how I look is acceptable to him. But I honestly think he'd take me no matter what. Which
he better.
He's better. I'm sending a net if he does. But I do think, too, with your poll, even men. So now it's always like, are men always the fall guy for everything? I feel like men have gotten so knocked down. I understand that men can do annoying things, and I understand that being married is challenging or being in a relationship, and guys can be immature. I get all of that. But it's acceptable now to body shame them, it seems like.
Sure.
It's acceptable for them to be the dope. It's acceptable. That makes no sense to me in a relationship anyway, but that's a total aside. I just can't believe that's the okay person to attack right now. Men can do no right.
I just think in general, we are so focused on attacking each other. And I was trying to understand why. Like, why is this so acceptable? And so, you know, we always do a lot of prep for our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this article on CNN because they did this very topic. And it was, you know, basically, why do we body shame people? Why do we body shame ourselves? Why do we body shame others?
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because they talked about how, like, the media culture loves thin. I mean, think about it. Movies, fashion magazines, anything and everything. Thin. Thin
right.
is in.
Right.
And they talked about how, like, that is something that you grow up with. It's something you see constantly. It's always in your face. You should be thin. You're not thin enough. And then they also interviewed this woman, Renee England. She's a psychology professor at Northwestern. She said there's so much body shaming these days because there's so many forums in which we can look at a woman or man's image and study it, evaluate it. And it's easy to share those images with others on social media, thereby inviting further comment about this person's figure, this person's belly, whatever it may be.
Right.
So I just was like, yeah, you know, I maybe that's why it just seems so prevalent.
And, you know, on the internet, people can be so vicious.
Right.
And I feel like the message from the media often implies, like, we should want to change. We should want to be smaller and tanner and whatever. And if we don't, then are we going to be the ones that are body shamed?
I always think to myself, too, like, you know, again, you and I are both really into celebrities. We've always been like that. And I look at some of these women and they're just beautiful. And if they're being body shamed, I'm thinking to myself, what the heck are people thinking about just the average everyday Joe?
Right.
Or are they being body shamed more because they are in the public light and we expect them to be perfect?
But
nobody is. And I'd almost rather have a celebrity that looks more like me, honestly.
Would you?
I actually would. I actually have to say, and this is something that I really kind of don't want to admit, but I will. I always have a hard time when an actress who is overweight loses weight because I feel like, oh, there's this woman who kind of looks like me and she's really successful and people go to see her movies. Oh, but now she's lost 150 pounds. Now, granted,
right.
Obviously that's the right thing to do for your health. But it's just kind of like,
well, you know, that's not really why they're doing it usually.
I mean, who knows why? But I mean, they've made it. They're successful. But I think that it's like Oprah, right? Mm-hmm. Oprah is one of the most successful women, hands down. But the weight thing has always been something that has been an issue for her. Mm-hmm. And it never went away for her. No matter how successful she became, she always wanted to be thinner. Right. So I guess it just doesn't matter how much money you have, how much fame you have. That figure, whatever that figure is that you have in your head of what you want to look like, is what you want to obtain.
And, you know, I think I've mentioned it before with what in my head I should, what in my head I would want. Like, I always say I want Gwen Stefani. Oh, look at her hips. They're so narrow. And my husband is disgusted by her body type. And he doesn't like that at all. Yeah, he's total Catherine Zeta-Jones, like okay. That type of look. Salma Hayek, he likes that type of look. So that's kind of cool that. But it just goes to show you where our heads are and where theirs are. I have tips if you want to, if you find that you body shame yourself or others.
Sure. Let's hear them.
Identify what the real issue is. And like, if you find yourself bashing other girls, it's probably not Susie has on a tight top. What's the real issue? That I agree with that because I have found myself doing that. Find someone who is body positive and doesn't make comments about others' bodies, including their own. And I really try, especially around my nieces, to not do that, but it's hard. It is hard. Identify body shamers in your world. Say something positive about yourself, like I feel better when I eat clean, or I felt better today because I attended that yoga class. And remember that girl, Dani Mathers, that Playboy bunny who body shamed that like 70-year-old woman
that
in
was
the
awful
gym locker room? And she was, you know, she had to go to court and it was a whole thing. And isn't that a sign that this needs to stop?
Absolutely.
I mean, she thought that was okay.
Yeah, and why she thought that was okay, I still don't get to this day.
No, me either.
I really don't.
So we all have to try to be better.
Absolutely. Well, I'm wondering if any of our audience has ever been body shamed publicly before.
Ooh.
So we'll put up a poll at nj115.com that you guys can take. So I'd be interested to, get those results. Speaking of results, I wanted to talk about last week's podcast. We did polls on all three topics. So I wanted to
poll crazy.
I know. I wanted to just quickly share those results. So in the first poll, we asked you guys, how many sexual partners is too many? I have to say, I was a little surprised by these results. About 26% of you said the number did not matter. So whether it be 200 or 10, you didn't care. And 31% said any number between 10 and 15 was too many. So that's that. We also asked you guys if age differences mattered in relationships, and 41% of you said no.
Okay.
And finally, we wanted to know what your must-haves are for a proper July 4th BBQ. So no surprise here, I don't think. 52% said burgers and dogs, and almost 30% said Jersey Fresh corn on the cob.
Oh, you can't beat it. It is delicious.
Oh, so, so good.
Yes.
So I have been doing a lot of cleaning out.
Okay.
And one of the things that I always find challenging when I do this is I look at certain things that I've purchased, mm-hmm. and I go, W-H-Y. What was I thinking?
Yes.
And I'm sure we can all go through our closets and all, you know, through our drawers and just go, why did I buy this?
I know.
And I have always struggled with impulse shopping. I have gotten a bit better about it because now I pretty much do not take my credit cards with
me. Any particular item or any item, it doesn't matter.
I just sometimes will get in this mood where I'm like, I like this, I have to have it. I don't know.
So it's not just handbags or...
It tends to be more accessory focused and clothing. It's not so much like items for the house.
Okay.
But I find that if I bring cash with me and I go in with a purpose, like men do, right? Men are like, I must buy a ceiling fan and that's all I'm getting. Okay. So that's what I do now. I act like I'm a man. I'm like, okay, the ceiling fan is in aisle 10. Get the fan. Go to the checkout. Here's my cash. Done.
Wow.
I don't wander. I try not to because it creates problems.
Okay.
But I was wondering, like, what are some of the things that you've splurged on that you totally regret? And what are some of the things that you've splurged on that you have no regrets about at all?
Okay. See, so I am kind of too responsible. I'm very fiscally responsible. And I have someone at home who helps me be even more fiscally responsible.
So are you going to say that you don't splurge on anything?
I have to tell you.
Because that's going to be boring, Megan.
I do have some things. Like, we definitely splurge on vacations. And we definitely do higher end vacations. Like, we like to, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. We actually put a pool in our backyard about 2 years ago, which was my husband's request. He really wanted a pool. And that was a very, very expensive operation.
I can imagine.
But I didn't give him any pushback. He works really hard. He wanted it. Whatever he wanted, we went with. You know what we'll splurge on, and we don't care the price. Even Mike came in the kitchen and announced to me on Monday new stuff would be arriving.
Oh, I love it.
Our workout supplements. We read up on things. We want to try new things. There really is no limit, and neither of us gets mad at the other for whatever you spend on those.
Okay.
And of course, dinners. We don't care what dinner costs if it's worth it. It can be a cheap meal. I don't care. But if we go out once a week to eat and it's a good meal, we don't care what we spend. Facials, I think they're very important. A good facial can be a girl's best friend. For Christmas, I actually got Mike a drone, like a professional drone, and he has so much fun with it. He even had to travel for work and took the drone with him.
That is fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. And for his birthday 1 year, this is a kind of a big splurge. I rounded up his friends. It was his 35th birthday, something. And I paid for a mountain house for them to all go play paintball. So they had, I don't think I paid for the paintball. I think that was the deal. They had to pay for the paintball, but I paid for the whole house and hooked them up with food and packed boxes with alcohol and all that stuff and sent them on their way. So getting them a mountain house for a weekend was kind of splurgy on my
But that's
end.
An awesome gift.
Yes. I'm an amazing wife. I'm an amazing wife.
So but do you have any splurging regrets or no, because you're so fiscally responsible?
Mike got me I've been asking for this ring for a long time, and I actually got it at Christmas.
Are you going to tell me that you regret that?
I don't regret it. I just feel really guilty.
No, you've wanted that ring forever.
I know, seriously.
Girl, just wear it and own it.
I know. I feel guilty, but regret-wise, I don't, like, if we go to, like, Parks Casino or down to AC and we lose a little, like $100 gambling, it'll eat me up for a week because I think I could have gone shopping and bought clothes.
I agree with that.
But if I could splurge on something, things I haven't splurged on that I would if I could, cleaning lady, no doubt. No doubt. More massages.
Okay.
And I drive, we have a beater car, like doesn't even have air conditioning, one of our cars, and maybe a new car. But I don't care. It doesn't have a payment. Gets me from A to B. It works for me.
You're not
kidding.
Except
it can be hot.
Well, I think that for me, I never, ever, ever, ever regret spending money on experiences. Because the older I've gotten, the more I've come to realize that, like, those build so much more than getting a new purse. Like, they build memories. They build character. You know, you can meet new people, you try new things. Like,
now,
do
you include that into your travel or is that separate from your travel?
No, I mean, to me, like, travel is considered experiences too, but okay. I'll definitely splurge. Like, I try to keep trips very affordable. So, affordable lodging, affordable flights, affordable food.
Yeah, you do amazing with flights and stuff.
But I will say that I will not think twice about, okay, you know, like, I want to go take a camel ride in the outback, I'm doing it. So if it's $200, whatever, it's happening. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing I'll splurge on. Like, we did a hot air balloon ride when I was in Turkey, and it was ridiculously amazing. I loved it. It was the first time I was in a hot air balloon.
Gosh.
It was not cheap, but I absolutely loved it. My best friend and I, we went to Iceland. We took a super, super expensive tour. It was a super Jeep tour. But he literally drove us, like, on top of a non-active, of course, volcano. I mean, like, you know, so how do you can't replace that. You know, that's an amazing experience. Like, I mean, I think about that day a lot where we sort of did all this, like, off-roading. It was awesome. And we saw things that we never would have seen if we just rented a car, you know, and tried to do it ourselves. So those types of things, to me, I just don't think you can put a price tag on them.
I agree.
Now, I will say, I no longer do designer handbags because I think those are without a doubt my biggest regret. So as much as I love a handbag, and I don't really love a handbag as much as I used to, but there was a time when I was in my late 20s that I was like hog wild over handbags. Mm-hmm. And really expensive ones. And I had absolutely no business buying, like, a Christian Dior or a Louis Vuitton at all. I didn't have that kind of salary. I still don't. I still don't make that kind of money where I should have that kind of bag. But that's what I wanted, you know, when I was 28 years old. The problem was that It was so expensive. I was so scared to use it. What if it gets wet? What if snow falls on it? What if this? What if that? I never took it out of the freaking box. So the Louis sat in the closet, in the box, wrapped all pretty, never once used
to
it. Not to this minute. I sold it about 10 years ago to a friend of mine. $600. I think the bag was $1,100, which is ridiculous when I think about I spent $1,100.
And I'm a handbag person,
on a bag.
But I've never probably spent over $100.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So $600, she got it. God bless her. She uses it all the time.
Great.
I have a Christian Dior bag that I also bought like when I was 28 years old that has never been used and is still sitting in my closet. But I don't know what to do with it. I should just like get rid of it. But so I really regret that. And I have never done that again. But experiences, Broadway, all of the gazillion dollars I've spent to see Hugh Jackman up close and personal.
But it makes you so happy.
I never, ever regret any of that. So I did want to tell you guys, for those of you that struggle with impulse shopping like myself, we are not alone. Creditcards.com did a survey last year, and they found that 5 in 6 Americans have spent $100 or more on an impulse buy. 20% said they've spent more than $1,000 on an impulse buy.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. What did they say causes that? What is the impulse buy? Do you know?
Was it almost
like a hit?
Maybe it is kind of like, yeah, because I felt like I did get a high from it, from like the decision to buy it, to purchase. But then I also sometimes will get a high if I return something. I'm not one of those like serial returners.
Okay.
But when I have returned things in the past, I almost get a high off of that. Like, oh, I got my money back and I don't need this item. And now it's back in the store. It's at my house. I don't know.
Wow.
Very interesting. Weird, right? Well, when it comes to shopping, are there any items you regret buying, or how about things you don't regret? You guys can email us at forever39@nj115.com.
Okay, guys, here's how you can win the headphones. See the Beats contest at nj115.com/contest. Find the box for episode 28 of Forever 39 and enter the code LAUGHS for a chance to win. Stay tuned. We'll release more codes for chances to win in next week's episode, which is number 29, and episodes of Speaking Millennial, The Jim Gearhart Show, and The New Jersey Guys all throughout June.
Good luck, guys.
So, Annette, I have a girlfriend who reached out to me, and she's kind of upset. She's been dating this guy for about 2 or 3 months, and she just found out in passing that he has about $127,000 in student loans.
Ooh.
Yes. So she said she's worried if the relationship goes further, how this is going to impact them. She said up until now, as far as she knows, he's made all his payments, but she's nervous because the amount is so large about his credit score and if things grow down the line and getting a house and what she's, because she is so responsible with her money and she rents a place and she has a place of her own. So all of this is weighing on her. Now, I'm married. My husband and I both had excellent credit when we got married. It was just our personalities, I think, lent to that. But, and I'm not on the dating scene, but I'm wondering how you, if you were to find someone, now she says he's perfect in every way. He treats her right. He's a good guy. They have a great time together, a lot in common. But Annette, how would you react if you found out that someone you're dating has a really sucky credit score or that kind of debt weighing over them or hanging over them, more or less?
I think I'd be able to relate. So I'm blessed in that I have a good credit score, but I could probably at this point, I probably could have purchased a couple of homes in the sense that I definitely have struggled with credit card debt many times. I've gotten in and out of debt many times. I've gotten in and out of debt always on my own, never leaned on anybody else. I always pulled myself out of it, whether it be having a second job. I have a roommate now, so I do try to make sure that the bills are covered. I've never missed a payment.
You used to come to me. I remember you would come in and you'd be all proud. You'd be like, oh my God, I just paid off my credit card. It's fantastic.
The problem that I have is it's like a revolving door for me, though, that I go through it. We do what we have to do. It's done. And then I go right back and do the same thing. And I don't quite get what that's about. Mm-hmm. And that's been my struggle. And, you know, part of it is, honestly, I think New Jersey, it's very difficult to live here. It's very difficult on one salary, which is where I'm at, to afford everything that I need. And the thing is, I don't need a lot and I don't have a lot. You know, I have a very economy friendly vehicle. My house is no great shakes. You know, it's a small Cape. I don't have cable. I don't really have any extras. Like, the biggest extra that I have is I have an alarm system. And that's because for a very long time I lived on my own. Mm-hmm. But I don't spend a lot of money in terms of like bills and extras, but I do spend money on things that I don't need, which I'm trying to work through. And I also just find it hard sometimes with what I'm paid to keep up.
So you're telling me if a guy came to you, you would understand.
I would understand because, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with this, especially being a single person trying to afford life in the Great Garden State. It is not easy.
It is not easy.
And, you know, I don't know how much more I'd have to make to sort of feel like I can live here. But I know that where I'm at now is not me feeling good about what I'm bringing in and what I'm able to pay for. And, you know, the thing is, it's like, okay, maybe I could maybe not go on a trip a year. But then, like, that's my one thing in life, right, that I really enjoy. And yes, I probably don't need to see as many Broadway shows. But again, I don't want to be one of these people that just is like, all work and no play. I probably admittedly need to balance it better. And I'm probably spending a little bit too much money playing. And that's part of the problem. So like, if somebody says, hey, you know, Annette, do you want to get together for dinner or, you know, want to come into New York? My problem is if I don't have the money, I'll be like, nah, Visa, MasterCard. Yep. What time?
Yeah.
And that's my problem. So that's where I need. But I can understand, you know, you get into situations. My father was somebody who had a lot of medical debt,
mm-hmm,
you know, and, mm-hmm, and that can honestly, that can bring down anybody. You can be living high on the hill. And then if you get sick, God forbid, because it can bring you right down. So right. I feel like there's a lot of reasons perhaps why people might have a bad credit score. And that's why I know personally, I'm against a lot of insurance companies that check people's credit scores or even quite frankly, jobs. Now, I know obviously if you're going to go and be a CFO, that's something that kind of goes along with the territory.
Right.
But like, you know, you don't need to check my credit score as a reporter. Well, what does that mean? You don't know what the story is behind that.
To jump on that real quick, I looked that up because I know some jobs do yep, that. And they say it has no effect. They found study after study after study. Just because you have a low credit score does not mean you have bad job performance.
It absolutely does not mean
right,
that at all.
So who started that trend?
I don't
where
know.
People are like, oh, I'm going to check their credit score and see. But you know what? I found on LexingtonLaw.com did a study of personalities and credit scores. And they found that people that tend to be agreeable have lower credit scores than rude people, which makes sense. Like if you're in the store and someone's like, hey, you want to open a credit card? If you're one of those yes
sure,
people,
that makes
you're
going to
do
right.
it. And also 19% of people said credit scores play absolutely no role in who they date and who they don't date. 42% say it could slightly impact their choices. But your points are such good ones. Coming into this, I was thinking, yes, it matters to me. Yes, it represents a lot to me on who a person is and what they do and the choices that they've made. But your points are good ones, too. What if you do have a sick parent or, you know, everything hit the fan or you chose to go to NYU and you're trying to catch up from that? Yeah, there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that could give you a bad credit score.
I think what you have to know is if you are going to be in a relationship with somebody that has a bad credit score, you do have to know how it might hurt you. So first, it could impact your credit score, especially if you apply for credit together.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also make it harder if you guys decide to buy a house together to get a mortgage, if you decide to buy a car together, even if you just decide to rent an apartment, it could make things harder. So I think you need to know that and then maybe just keep things separate. But I don't think you should discount somebody because they have a low credit score.
No, and she's not. And it's interesting because, and it's so hard in the beginning, especially when you're in a new relationship and you're still in that smitten part of it.
Sure.
But it was really honest for her to come to me and be
sure.
like, what do you think this early on? Do you think I should run for the hills? Do you think I shouldn't? And we talk through it and she's not going to. She's really happy and she's been looking for someone for quite a while. And this guy really, she's not trying to silver line his cloudiness. he really does seem like a decent guy who just needs to get his career really solid and get rolling.
Yeah. And I mean, I think as long as she protects her own finances,
right,
she should be okay. Well, we want to hear from you guys. So would you date someone with a low credit score? Do you even care? Take our poll over at NJ1015.com.
Annette, that wraps up this episode of Forever 39.
Yay!
Next week's show, we're going to talk about being married with no kids, how to manage stress, and if you should take your hubby's name when you get married.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting conversation. Have a good rest of the week, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.